This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is Earth Matters on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Juliet Jacobs. The folks behind the environmental group Persatuan Aktivis Sahabat Alam, or QASA for short, believe in standing up for what's right when it comes to protecting nature and our natural resources. The group go on the ground to highlight cases of environmental destruction right here in Peninsula Malaysia, bringing light to these often hidden or overlooked issues and reminding us all that we have a role to play in protecting our environment and holding authorities accountable for dubious decisions which may negatively impact the environment, wildlife, and ultimately us too. So I'm going to find out more about their work from Hafizuddin Nasaruddin, who is the president of QASA. Hi, Hafiz. How are you today?
Hi, I'm fine. Good. Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining me today, Hafiz. So, I've been following you guys on Twitter a lot, and you know, I'm really impressed. And I look to you guys for a lot of updates, actually, on the ground work that you guys do. So let's get to know you a bit better. So, can you tell me a little bit about QASA? Persatuan Aktivis Sahabat Alam is the full name, of course. How did you guys come to be? What would you say is the organization's vision and mission?
Okay, firstly, I would like to say thank you to Juliet and BFM for inviting me to share my thoughts and my experience with my society. And for your information, QASA is an environmental-based NGO which has been registered in the state of Perak. We started off in the year of 2012, and during that time, we start off in the district of Manjung, where we start as a collective of Manjung residents, the fishermen communities, the villagers, and also the public members to raise up some environmental issues that happening in Manjung, such as the approval of unsustainable activities, such as the industrial project that has been approved in the environmental sensitive area. And also, we are facing a lot of deforestation issues in Manjung, and also the river pollution, marine pollution, and also encroachment to the mangrove forest. Mm. So we start off based on the district issues. And 6 years after that, in the year of 2016, if I'm not mistaken, I took over the society and I tried to transform it from a district-based NGO to more a national-based NGO, which focus on the issue on forest and biodiversity. Mm-hmm. And I start to invite a lot of young people to join the society, because in the beginning, the majority of the members in the society are the senior citizens. So at that moment, they are saying to me, we are already tired and fed up with all the things. I think this is the best moment we will hand over the society to the younger generation.
Okay. Yeah. So that's how it came to be. So 10 years then, this is your 10th anniversary, or QASA's 10th anniversary.
This
wow.
This is our 10th anniversary.
Okay. And I mean, you guys are doing amazing work. And like you said, now you are, you've expanded to cover nationwide sort of issues, isn't it? But before we get to that, can you tell me personally, like, how did you become involved in conservation work and activism? You know, I know you do have a science background and you are involved. Yeah, but tell me about that.
Actually, it was a long journey. I started my activism works when I studied in university, where I exposed to a student activism, and I'm very interested in joining the political issues. Mm-hmm. And I was exposed to the Student Representatives Council and become one of the student leaders in my university back in 2010, if I'm not mistaken. It was a long years ago. And after that, I developed my leadership skills. And at the same time, I studied environmental science, studied the worldwide issues on the deforestation, on the climate change. And after I finished my bachelor degrees, I have the opportunities to continue my master degrees in UK, in Bristol. Mm-hmm. And I study in environmental science as well. But I learned a lot of worldwide issues, such as the poverties, the climate change related poverties, and also the destruction of the worldwide forest. And based on my experiences and knowledge, I tried to bring back something to my countries, and I decided to contribute something back to my society. Mm. And when I returned back from UK, I didn't start off with activism yet. In fact, I start as an environmental consultant for 2 years with the local environmental consultant firm. But after 2 years, everything already got getting bored, and I already getting fed up living in KL with the more stressful works and also a lot of
so
things
right.
happening
yep.
with the high cost of living. So I decided to return back to Ipoh. So I had to do a self-employment. I tried to do a business on tree nursery. We do a lot of tree planting. And so suddenly I meet one guy who are the former president of Kuasa. He invited me to join Kuasa and try to take over Kuasa and see maybe I can do something with the organization.
Right. And and there you've been last since, what was it, 2016,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, 6 years.
6 years, wow. Okay. Yeah. All right. And you've been, as I keep saying, you know, you've been doing a lot of good work and your conservation is focused, as we mentioned, on conservation work around Peninsula Malaysia. What are some of the areas that you are actually working in, you know, just to be more specific?
Okay, as I mentioned before, we focus on the topic of forest and biodiversity. That is a large topic.
Yeah.
But inside that, we focus on empowering multi-segment of communities such as the orang asli, the villagers, the fishermen who live nearby the mangrove forest and also other public members who are keen to protect the forest.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, we do a lot of engagement with the government agencies to resolve the existing environmental issues and to propose for a new protected areas, especially in the state of Perak. So our focus location is more towards the Titiwangsa Forest Complex,
okay,
which is covering the state of Perak, Pahang, Kelantan and some part of Kedah.
Mm-hmm.
So most of the forest is occupied by the existing orang asli communities, mm-hmm, especially from the Jahai, Temia and Semai communities. So that's the opportunities that I got when I want to focus on the forest issue. I got the opportunities to engage with them and meet with them and know what is the reality that happening on the ground.
And of course, you know, the knowledge transfer from the orang asli to you as because they are the guardians, the natural guardians of the forest, and they know when changes are happening. They know the impacts of, you know, deforestation on everything that's happening, right, in the ecosystem.
That is the best part of my works because I learned a lot of, you know, the traditional culture that we as a Malay people has lost already because we used to live with the forest, live harmoniously with the environment, where we get all the food resources, the fresh water and also our culture, everything from the forest.
Yeah.
But I can see my old tradition when during my kids, I was born in kampung.
Mm-hmm.
My late grandmother used to taught me how to cook all the foods using the kayu api. So I it's like a recap of your childhood moments when I see the orang asli livelihood.
Okay, and you're also saying that, you know, that's something that's getting lost or is lost already, isn't
it? Yeah.
Okay.
I can see the difference between the Murray and also the Aborigines.
Mm-hmm. Okay, all right. And you mentioned earlier also that, you know, it started off as a group more with senior citizens, but now it's more of a youth-led movement. Who are some of the rest who make up the team behind Kuasa?
Okay, currently we have around 250 volunteers around Peninsula.
Okay.
And we have around 50 active members and our core members is around 35. But most of our volunteers are from outside Perak. Although our office is located in Perak, in Ipoh and Manjung, but most of it from the Klang Valley and also Penang. And some part from the East Coast.
Okay, all right. So a nice big team, but all kind of spread out, isn't it, and doing their own work. But how exactly do you guys carry out your work? Because you did say that you do a lot of engagement and outreach programs, right? So, tell me how you actually do that.
Yeah, through our 10 years, we learn a lot from our experiences because in the beginning, we just doing advocacy works.
Okay.
We try to resolve the existing community problem with the environmental destruction and try to engage with the government. But when I took over the society, I said to my members, we need to get a funding first.
Mm-hmm.
And then we need to set a module, which is a comprehensive module that we can train the communities on how to protect their existing healthy forest. Because most of the cases that we face, we work with the communities, they're already late because the forest already been encroached, the machinery already went into the forest, the timber already been locked, their ecosystem already been destroyed. So they already take an action at the very last minute. So I said to my co-members, we need to empower the communities to know the knowledge on how to protect the forest, on how to monitor their existing environment so that they can act more proactive to defend themselves from the future incoming, any unsustainable development that will occur in their forest. So we developed a set of training for multiple groups, such as the Orang Si communities. So we do a community mapping training with them, mm-hmm. where we mapping their communal territory, their resources, and all their ecosystem, and we documenting their livelihood, their history, and also their surrounding resources, and sure. also with the mangrove fishermen as well, we train them, and also with the Orang Seri as well, we train them on how to monitor the forest. A part of that, we also do a series of conservation works, mm-hmm. where we have a turtle landing site in the Manjung district in okay. Perak. So mm-hmm. what we do is we try to do a turtle rehabilitation. We invite a lot of volunteers to do a turtle conservation by collecting the eggs, put it back on the ex-situ hatchery and release it back after the egg already ready. And also we do a series of mangrove replantation and also the coastal plant reforestation to ready the site for the turtle landing.
Okay.
A part of that, we also do a training on the sustainable development goals with the youth groups mm-hmm. in Malaysia, because we want to develop our youth to a more greener thinking, to a more greener leadership, because we are lack of that kind of leadership right now. So hopefully that all the school students or the youth or the university students that join our program, they can do something that are very sustainable mm. in their chosen field mm-hmm. in the future.
Yeah, and of course not.
And also, last but not least, we still do our advocacy works with the government agencies. And so we are kind of proposing a new area in Perak mm. to be gazetted as a new protected areas.
Oh, okay. So you're engaging with the state government to protect that area.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I was just going to say that, you know, it's great that you're working with the children. I mean, we always say, right, you know, get them young and, you know, if they know and understand it at that age, they will continue to protect it throughout their lives. So yeah, the hope kind of lies with them. We're just going to go for a quick break, Hafiz, but when we come back, we're going to find out more about sort of the on the ground work that you guys do at Kuasa. I'm speaking today to Hafizuddin Nasaruddin. He's the president of Persatuan Aktivis Sahabat Alam, or Kuasa for short. We're finding out more about the work that they do. And after this quick break, we're going to find out more about what Hafiz was and his team were doing on the ground in Guamusang last week, you know, with regard to the human and tiger conflict issues that are ongoing there. We'll have more after this. You're listening to Earth Matters on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Welcome back. This is Earth Matters on The Bigger Picture. I'm Juliet Jacobs. Joining me on the line today is Hafizuddin Nasaruddin. He's the president of Persatuan Aktivis Sahabat Alam, or Kuasa for short. We're finding out all about the work that they do. Kuasa is, of course, an NGO that looks into environmental protection. You know, they do a lot of advocacy work and they also do a lot of training. And before the break, Hafiz was telling us all about that. Hafiz, I just want to know about how you were in Guamusang last week, right? I mean, I was trying to get in touch with you and you did mention you were there. Sure. And you guys have really been going on the ground. You know, you went there to investigate that very unfortunate incident involving the deaths of, the Orang Asli villager, Anik bin Along, and then who was killed by a tiger. And subsequently, the tiger was also shot by perhelitan. Can you give us some updates about what you found out from your visit there?
Okay, before I start off with the story, historically, we have been engaged with the Orang Asli in Guamusang for the past 6 years. In 2016, I started off my engagement with them when they are facing a lot of deforestation projects, especially for the logging concession that happening in their forest, because most of the forest in Guamusang, although it is gazetted as a forest reserve, but some part of it already been zoned as a forest plantation area, which means that the area can be locked clearly and being replaced by a rubber plantation.
Right.
So the problem is most of the area that has been zoned is still a healthy forest. they used to refer it as a poor forest, but when we do the site visit, most of the forest that we visited, is maybe a partial healthy forest and also the secondary forest. The ecosystem is still there, it's still intact.
Okay.
And there's a lot of many species that are still in there, including the Malayan tiger, the harimau.
Mm.
So what happened in Gua Musang in the past few months, I think the chronology is like the encroachment of the tiger to their kampung has started since November of 2021, where initially they spotted three tigers came into their kampung, and the kampung is called, if I'm not mistaken, is Kampung Remau. Kampung Remau.
Okay.
So during that time, the orang asli has afraid. When they are spotted the tiger, they decided to do a meeting, and they decided to abandon the kampung, and they try to move up to the center of the kampung, which is called Pos Bihai. And the case of tiger appearance in their kampung has been going for, I think, if I'm not mistaken, for over 5 to 6 times.
Wow.
And they said to me, there's one orang asli guy, he returned back from the town, he ride a motorbike, and suddenly the tiger chased him from behind.
Oh,
and luckily, he managed to control the motorbike and pushed already. Okay, the second case is the tiger tried to attack a bunch of orang asli who ride the Toyota Hilux at the back container. And luckily, they managed to escape. Near the kampung, if I'm not mistaken, the kampung is called Kampung Bayu. Yeah, there are a lot of kampung that receive the harimau visits. And also, there's a one incident where the logging company workers, the location just nearby the Kongsi Balak, where the workers sleep and rest, when he tried to plant a cassava during the leisure time, and suddenly the tiger tried to aim him from the far behind the tree and chase him. And luckily he managed to escape, but suddenly he fall down and he broke his leg. And luckily the tiger went away. And the last case that make us shock, which has become a national issue, where the tiger attacked one of the senior orang asli in Kampung Sau. Yeah, actually the pakcik is my friend's dad. Also the orang asli. He said that during that time it was in the morning, the uncle tried to he went to the toilet. So when he came out from the house at the back door, and suddenly the harimau catch him and bite his neck and drag him to the river. And before that, he managed to scream, and his daughter managed to hear it. And suddenly, the daughter called the villagers, and they tried to chase the tiger. But unluckily, the tiger already killed him, and the tiger escaped. And a few hours after that, they called Perhitan, and Perhitan managed to shoot the tiger. So that is one of the tragic incident that happened there. But previously, I think in the last July, in 2021, it was the first attack to the orang asli in the same post as well, in the post behind, where one orang asli guy, he do a rubber taping, and suddenly the harimau attack him from behind and fight with him, and luckily he managed to injure the tiger with the parang lah. And they managed to save him and bring him to the hospital. So that's one of the tragic story that happened there in the Kampung Orang Asli.
So lots of incidents then, isn't it?
Hafiz? A lot of incidents.
Yeah.
And they said that there were different tiger that came to their village. Maybe around 9 to 11 kind of different tigers.
Wow, okay. And that area is supposed to be anyway like a protected area for the tigers?
It should be. Based on our research on the National Tiger Survey, it is said that the kampung is located inside the Perias Forest Reserve, Hutan Simpan Perias. And in the report saying that Hutan Simpan Perias having the most tiger habitats in the state of Kelantan. But when we see from the forestry plan, most of the area has been gazetted as production forest, which is meant to be logged in the future.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, and I do know that you know, last week you guys released drone footage, right, of the area because because you wanted to refute what the Menteri Besar of Kedah and the Deputy Menteri Besar, who claimed that, you know, this whole conflict has nothing to do with of logging and all of that. I mean, yeah, tell me about that.
Okay, this has happened when currently we have a project in the Orang Sedi Kampung in the Kumusang. We do a permaculture project with some of the selected kampung. And coincidentally, when we start off with the second kampung on the permaculture project, we have been called off by the Orang Asli to help them to distribute the rice donation from the public. So that I said to my friend, this is the opportunities for us to go to visit the kampung and see what is happening in there. And the head of the Orang Asli village tried to ask me, if you have a drone, maybe you can bring it up and try to see the surrounding village. Is there any logging concession that currently happening? And he said that last year there was one logging concession which they clear cut the forest, I think about 400 hectares, just not far from the tiger habitat. They said the area is a tiger habitat because they used to see the tapak harimau, the tiger feed. And also they say that around the area also there's a large mountainous area, and also the cave that has become a shelter for the tiger. So he afraid that maybe the logging is causing the tiger to encroach the area. So I tried to bring up my drone not far from the village, Kampung Tenri, also the kampung that has been attacked by the tiger. I think around 1.8 kilometers, I can see a massive forest has been cleared for the, if I'm not mistaken, for rubber plantation. So the license already finished, the logging already finished, and some of the wild bushes already grown up. So we can see a habitat loss from there. And the head of villages saying that besides that concession, there are 2 to 3 concession that has already finished. And in the incoming project, there will be one more concession that will be occurring. The area is around 404 hectares. And he bring me to the one of the Kongsi Balak, and I can see clearly from the logging license saying that there is approval of logging concession. If I'm not mistaken, from the early, from the end of the last year until mid of this year. Because usually the logging concession period is only stand for 6 months.
I see.
So that's one of the evidence that saying the tiger encroachment is based because of the habitat loss due to the logging.
Yeah, and you know, we see so much about how we must protect our tigers, you know, how we, you know, there's all sorts of fanfare around it, right? But the simplest thing to do, which is to, you know, put a moratorium on logging and to protect the habitat, that's not quite happening, isn't it? All right. And, you know, when you did release all of that footage, it did go viral. And, you know, the I know that the Kelantan Forestry Department, they denied that those photographs of logging, they said that it was not taken. I mean, the area is not close to tiger habitat. I mean, what was your response to their response?
I think some of their statement is maybe a little bit correct, because they say that the logging area is from the Kampung Sau. The Kampung Sau is the kampung that the man already died attacked by the tiger.
Sure.
But the logging concession is not far from the other village, and the other village has been attacked by the tiger as well.
Right.
So, and if he said that the logging concession is like 5 to 6 kilometers from the village, based on our research and based on our my reading from the journal, the corridor of the Malayan tiger is quite far. They can go around minimum like 5 kilometers per radius, and they can go far as long as 100 kilometers per radius.
Yeah.
So that's not a problem because they can go anywhere at any time.
Yeah.
So they can attack anyone because the forest resources and also the ecosystem already been degraded years after years. So that's one of the proof lah yang I can say their statement is not valid. And also he said that the conservation is quite far from the tiger habitat. And we try to question them since when the forestry department is expert in the tiger research or study, because that statement should be came out from the Perhilitan, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we read the statement from the National Tiger Survey based on the facts and also research by the National Survey.
Mm.
So we're not accusing without any proof lah.
Yeah, and we know that tigers, you know, they need far-ranging sort of habitat. They travel, you know, like you said, long distances. They need a huge area, you know, so that they can breed properly, so that they can hunt properly, and that they don't come into contact with us, which is exactly what we saw happening. And as you pointed out, has been happening quite a bit. So clearly something is triggering them to move closer and closer to human habitats, right?
Yeah.
It could.
What we saw from this incident, when I discussed with Dorang Si, they say that they have been experiencing with the tigers for long years.
Sure.
But they never met the tiger in front of their face. They just only met the dead body and also the tiger food. But this time, the tiger is very, how to say, is don't scare with the human population. In fact, they can walk around the kampung without realizing that, because they say that a tiger used to afraid with the human.
Mm.
And whenever a tiger managed to detect or scan the people within their 1 to 2 kilometer radius, they will run away. But this time, they are not afraid of the human. And sometimes they can get into your house if you open the door.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah,
yeah, so which points to questions, right? Like why are they doing this? What's happened to that natural prey? Why, what is causing them to do that, right? I mean, if this is goes against their nature, pretty much.
We're still questioning the incidents because some of the orang asli saying that maybe someone tried to release the tiger from somewhere else. Maybe the tiger came from zoo or came from a private owner, we don't know. Because the tiger is very friendly with the human,
of it. So something's not right there.
The area of, how to say, they just walk around the road, around the village. It's like a dog, you know?
like domesticated like that, right?
Yeah.
So something not quite right happening there. Do you know currently what's going on there? Because we know that, I mean, as of last week at least, you know, the villagers were still very afraid, you know, schools had been closed. Everybody was still sort of very nervous about these sorts of interactions with the tigers.
Yeah. Okay, currently what is happening now, for your information, I have engaged with around 7 different orang asli territories, the Goa Musang.
Sure.
They have around 20 something territories, and from the 17, I think around 9 to 10 territories has been attacked by the tiger physically. And now they say that a new kampung has been receiving a tigers. And for your information, the distance between one kampung to another kampung is quite far. For instance, I start off my journey from Kuala Betis, the nearby kampung, to the nearby town, which is Goa Musang. And from Kuala Betis to Pos Buiha is around 2 hours journey by four-wheel drive.
Okay.
And from Pos Buiha to Pos Tuel, another 2 to 3 hours. So it's like distance between one kampung to another kampung is like 70 kilometers different.
Okay.
So it's very far. But they say that the same tiger came to the different kampung.
Okay.
So what they did, when I heard from the Perhilitan, they tried to put up a big trap where they put a kambing inside there.
Mm-hmm.
And they try to invite the tiger to come in.
Sure.
But the orang asli said there were one woman where the harimau just passed by the cage and just sit beside the cage without eating the kambing.
Oh.
So the harimau just try to ask, "Hey, kenapa kau kat sini ya?" It's just like that.
Oh my goodness. Okay, so that's why even these sorts of efforts to trap and relocate them aren't quite working out. Okay. All right. Okay. All right. So currently the tigers are still, and there's more cases, as you said. The orang asli themselves are the ones reporting. And of course they know, right? They are living there. They are the ones experiencing it. So it's still ongoing lah. Okay. All right. We're just going to go for one more quick break, Hafiz. And when we come back, I'm just going to find out more about, you know, how the sort of reaction to the research and the evidence that you, put out there and what the authorities say to that. I'm speaking today to Hafizuddin Nasaruddin. He is the president of Persatuan Aktivis Sahabat Alam, or KWASA for short. They are an environmental NGO, who are bringing light to often hidden or overlooked issues about our environment and, trying to get us all more involved. We'll find out more after this quick break. You're listening to Earth Matters on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Welcome back. This is Earth Matters on The Bigger Picture. I'm Juliet Jacobs. Joining me on the line today is Hafizuddin Nasaruddin. He's the president of Persatuan Aktivis Sahabat Alam, or KWASA for short. They are an environmental NGO. And Hafiz is telling me all about the work that the organization carries out. And of course, most recently, they were up in Gua Musang trying to figure out what's happening, with regard to all the human and sort of human-tiger conflict that's happening there. What are the reasons behind it? Is it because of logging? Is it because of loss of habitat? We don't know. It seems to be pointing towards that for sure. And, Hafiz, you were telling me about how all the different orang asli groups and villages were telling you that these incidents of conflict was increasing. And I guess, at this moment, like, what is the most current update that you have regarding this issue over there in particular?
Based on the last report that I received from the orang asli groups, the last tiger case that occurred in their kampung, it was in last 2 days in Postburg. Mm. Postburg is a very remote areas, which is the area is like 3 to 4 hours from the nearby town.
Sure.
And it has come to that area because Postburg is one of the most populated areas with the orang asli. Mm. And we are afraid that maybe sometime all the orang asli were afraid to come out because this is a very difficult moment for them because they need to sell their rubber and also their forest harvest to outside world. And so they need to get it outside from the village because in their village, there was no groceries or supermarket. They have to go to the go outside to the Kuala Batis town to buy the daily foods. Mm. And so if they try to harvest a food from the forest, in fact, the surrounding forest also has already been destroyed due to the opening of a monocrop plantation. So it's not an easy life for them. And if they try to do a farming, and most of the times, their farming area has been encroached by the wild boar and also the elephant. Okay. So it's a very difficult moment for the orang asli in Gua Musang. And their stories is like unheard by the outside world because there's nobody want to expose their stories. And what we do from KWASA is we try to do videography, try to document their life and try to show to the world what is currently happening in their village.
Okay, all right. That's another reason why you were down there last week, right? To sort of get all these documented.
Documented.
Yeah. Okay. And you're going to be releasing some videos?
We are still processing our videos. Sure. We interviewed the orang asli about the tiger attacks, about the destruction of their ecosystem, and also what is their hopes and their demand from the federal and also the state government, which they ask the authorities to resolve their issues from the environmental destruction, the tiger encroachment, and also their welfare.
Yeah, welfare and livelihood, right? And I think it's quite clear also, I mean, from everything that I have been reading, like they are not, they don't want the tigers killed. They're pointing to larger issues of, loss of habitat and all of that. And that's the reason why these sorts of incidents, like you say, even elephants, even wild boars, why are they encroaching? Because loss of habitat, isn't it? It all boils down to that. Okay. All right. And when your drone footage, for example, went viral last week, and of course, it was very promptly refuted by the authorities. But I'm just curious, in all this work that you do, because you're very, there's a lot of effort on your part to highlight these sorts of issues, which might not be very popular with the authorities. Am I correct? Do you face any threats, when you do these sorts of things, maybe from the authorities, maybe from, the loggers themselves, for example, any of those sorts of incidents?
Okay, throughout my experience working in Kuasa, I did a lot of visits and secret journey to the forest.
Sure.
Taking a lot of evidence and also data from the forest on the non-compliance issues on the forest management.
Mm.
I still haven't received a quite strong threat lah.
That's
threat
good.
From the social threat from the social media, like yelah, komen-komen yang tak okay, like threatening the activists to stop the works or else they will report to the authorities. Like that, it's just a biasa lah. So I still haven't received any strong threat yet.
Okay.
Because I do works like belakang tabir.
Mm.
Because most of the time, all the data, all the documentation, I try to compile it in my office and I give to the orang asli and they will speak for themselves. And during the press conference or the interview with the media, I used to urge them to speak on behalf themselves.
Sure.
Because I don't want to be in front. Because if I speak on behalf of them, the people on our side or the authorities will try to question me. Kenapa awak orang luar pula yang lebih-lebih kan?
Mm-mm-mm.
Orang tempatan diam je kan? So, I don't have any strong local standard on that.
Mm.
So, most of the time before I give them the data and all the evidence, I try to empower some of their representatives to speak clearly, smoothly, so that they have the courage to speak on their issues.
True.
And they have the courage to bring their issues to the authorities.
Okay. And that's part of the work you do, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, training and outreach and all
of
that. And you're so right, you know, hearing it from themselves, that is, I suppose, the most powerful way of communicating those issues, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. And, you know, when you do sort of, you know, give these sorts of evidence to authorities, for example, do they take you seriously? You know, do you see follow-up action, you know, when you present these sorts of evidence?
It depends on authorities. Different authorities have different responses.
Okay.
I did submit our reports to various agencies, especially the Forestry Department,
mm-hmm.
and also the state government, the chief minister himself. And if they didn't respond very well, we submitted it to the Suruhanjaya Integrity and also the SPRM for further action.
Okay.
If there is no response at all, we do a press conference, like viral, because people say that no viral, no action. So after viral, then they will respond to the media.
Okay.
So the best thing is when we do a press conference, I did a lot of engagement and collaboration with the wartawan or the journalists.
Mm.
So some of the journalists have a special bonding with me.
Mm-hmm.
So if I have a special news to them, I will try to feed them. So they will become the perantara between our organization with the authorities, so we get a faster feedback from them.
Okay, all right.
But usually I think maybe I can say around 60% of the cases when we submit the report, we haven't get enough response at all.
Okay, so
maybe due to the bureaucracy or
bureaucracy.
Yeah.
Okay, so we need to keep the pressure up, isn't it?
And yeah.
Of course, and that is what you guys are continuing to do. What else are you guys working on in 2022? After all, we did say this is your 10th year already. What are some of the plans in the pipeline for Kuasa?
Okay, in 2022, we still have to continue our works on empowering the communities on how to monitor the forest.
Sure.
Because currently, we already managed to engage around I think almost 40 different orang asli communities,
mm-hmm.
from the Pahang, Kelantan and Perak, and we still looking forward for new communities which living in the healthy forest, and we are looking for new communities from the fishermen communities,
mm-hmm.
to guardians or to monitor the mangrove forest, especially mm-hmm. in the coastal area.
Sure.
And we are looking forward for new volunteers, especially from the youngsters and especially from the environmental graduates, because we need your knowledge to help us in doing our documentation reports and everything. Because most of our report, we have to cite it from the existing regulation and everything. Because, you know, in Malaysia, the problem is most of the people saying that the pembalakan haram, the illegal deforestation, illegal project is the most common problem that make our environmental to be destroyed.
Yeah.
But based on our experiences, I think only 50% is came from the illegal activities.
Yeah.
Another 85% is from the project that has been given a license, but they're not really following the SOP. Mm-hmm. They don't follow the guideline that should be followed, such as the zoning of the logging area is not appropriate. And also some of the implementation in the logging activities, they encroach the riparian zone, the buffer zone of the river.
Sure.
They do the logging in the environmental sensitive area and also the social sensitive area, especially orang asli kampung, and they pollute the river and many more. And so the most important thing is, many people are saying that the environmental NGO is against the development. So I want to correct the fact that we are not against the development. We are against the unsustainable development. In fact, in Malaysia, we have a very complete and holistic development planning. We have a national physical plan which has specified which area is an environmental sensitive area and which area is non-sensitive. And also the national physical plan also has specified where are the forest corridor that need to be protected, and they call it as a central forest pine. Central forest pine is the wildlife corridor that need to be preserved and protected. But when this policy has been approved on the federal, but it not been implemented at the state level, you know, because in our federal constitution, the state have the ultimate power towards the natural resources, towards the land,
yep,
water, and also forest.
That's right.
So they can do whatever they want, including they still they masih boleh tak ikut what the federal has done.
Yeah.
So that's the problem. You do a policy yang cantik-cantik dekat federal, but dekat peringkat negeri you tak ikut, kan? So that's very problematic lah. So kita dah sign international treaty such as United Nations Convention of Biological Diversity, UNFCCC, lepas tu banyak lagi convention international yang kita cakap. We have commit that we want to preserve our forest, but at the state level they don't follow the international treaties and also the national policies. So that's the problem lah. So every time we try to voice out our bantahan, that is based on the federal policies lah.
And of course the answer always is, oh, we need the funds to develop our state, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah,
that's the sort of
Okay. That's the typical answers.
Okay. All right. So the work is cut out for, I mean, all of us, you know, all of us need to speak up about it. And I guess, you know, for you guys at Kuasa, what sort of help from the public would be most helpful or useful to you guys?
Okay. As a non-governmental organization, of course lah, we need the funding lah.
Of course.
We need some donation from the citizens, from the people, to fund us to go to the forest. And sometimes when we go to the forest, yelah, kita guna vehicles and kita guna pun sometimes second-hand vehicles kan. Kadang-kadang selalu rosak. So maintenance pun tinggi, kena keluar beribu-ribu duit. Kadang-kadang air pun kena terpaksa guna duit gaji untuk repair air punya four-wheel. Sebab setiap kali masuk hutan mesti rosak. So kalau dapat sedikit donation from the public, you want to donate for us to buy a new vehicle, and maybe you can contribute some donation for the orang asli themselves, because ada orang asli dia ada problem to monitor the forest because they need some money for their petrol, for their motorbike maintenance, and for their foods as well. So we try to create a tabung for them. And currently we are doing a crowdfunding to ask for the public to donate to buy a photostat machine for them, because they need to print a lot of document to bring their documentation to the courts to file their case.
Sure.
So that the courts will approve their demand to stop the logging in their forest lah. And we hope that for the public that interested to help us in term of knowledge, skill or your masa and tenaga, maybe you can join us by email us at admin@kuasaperak.org, or just go to our website www.kuasaperak.org.
Okay. All right. So lots of different ways to help. And of course, as you said, the best thing to do is just head to your website, which is kuasaperak.org. And you guys also have Facebook, you're on Instagram, you're on Twitter as well, right?
Yeah, we have TikTok as well.
And TikTok. Okay. All right. How can I forget TikTok? Everyone's got TikTok now. Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much, Hafiz, for joining me today. I've been speaking to Hafizuddin Nasaruddin. He's the president of Persatuan Aktivis Sahabat Alam, or KUASA for short. Again, do get involved. There's many different things that you can do. You could raise funds, you could help out, you could volunteer, so many things that you can do. Just head to kuasaperak.org or follow them on their social media channels to find out more. And if you miss any part of today's interview or any previous Earth Matters interviews, you can search for the podcast at bfm.my/earth, or you can find it on the BFM app. This has been Earth Matters on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.